It's been 65 years since Margaret Mitchell wrote her Civil War romance, Gone with the Wind. Since then, there's been one authorized sequel, and another is in the works, though Mitchell died in 1949. Her estate says a new novel is an unauthorized sequel and has sued to stop its publication. The Wind Done Gone is scheduled to be released in June. Yesterday, a group of 20 writers, including Harper Lee, Shelby Foote, and Charles Johnson, submitted a letter to the court in support of the new novel. Its publisher is defending The Wind Done Gone as a parody of Gone with the Wind, told from a slave's point of view. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports.
Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind is one of the most popular love stories ever written. In 65 years, it's never gone out of print. The names Scarlett O'Hara, Rhett Butler, and Tara have become American icons, thanks to the book and the film starring Vivian Leigh and Clark Gable.
Someday I want you to say to me the words I heard you say to Ashley Wills. I love you.
That's something you'll never hear from me, Captain Butler, as long as you live.
The names Rhett and Scarlett don't appear anywhere in The Wind Done Gone. The name of the plantation has been changed from Tara to Tata, and the story is told in the form of a diary written by Sanara, a mulatto slave, the offspring of a white master and a black mammy. This excerpt is read by Chicago performer Lucy Smith.
Mammy never knew Rhett, but she is no fool. I believe she knows why R doesn't give a damn about other anymore. Mammy knows that he's in love with me, and after the tragedy, there's nothing to keep us apart.
In The Wind Done Gone, Other, Sanara's half-sister, bears a striking resemblance to Scarlett O'Hara, just as Other's former husband, R, does to Rhett Butler. Originally, Houghton Mifflin called the book a rejoinder to Margaret Mitchell's epic. First-time novelist Alice Randall says she wanted to revisit Gone with the Wind because its mythic portrayal of the South has been read by more people than any history book. After the lawsuit was filed, Houghton Mifflin said it would note on the cover of Randall's book that it is a literary parody. Wendy Strothman is an executive vice president at Houghton Mifflin. She calls the work a biting satire.
But I think it was important for Alice Randall to tell the story this way because of the power of Gone with the Wind. It really has become the primary source of information for so many Americans about plantation life and Reconstruction, and therefore it was appropriate to take on that story and not just write a different story about slavery.
But Thomas Sells, an attorney for the Mitchell estate, questions the publisher's description of the book.
They're claiming that it is a parody. We believe it is both an unfair taking of Gone with the Wind itself, the original book, as well as an infringement of the sequel rights which the trusts own under the copyright law. So in effect, it is a double whammy, if you will.
Under copyright law, the Mitchell estate has the say-so over who writes sequels to the epic. An approved follow-up called Scarlett was published in 1991, and plans are moving ahead for another sequel. But a parody requires no such permission. In 1994, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in a suit brought against the rap group Two Live Crew that the group's parody of Roy Orbison's Oh Pretty Woman was allowable under the fair use doctrine of the copyright law. The court also ruled in the Two Live Crew case that the group did not use excessive amounts of the original song in its parody. However, Mitchell estate lawyer Thomas Sells says that The Wind Done Gone author Alice Randall has crossed that line.
What she has taken in many situations has nothing to do with either comment or parody. It's simply using it to populate and fill out her novel. Copyright law says that you can take as much as you need to call up the original, but no more. And both in terms of the volume of what she has taken from Gone with the Wind, the detailed character relationships, the plot situations, things that are completely fictional, she has taken far more than is needed to call up Gone with the Wind.
Sells calls The Wind Done Gone an unauthorized sequel, which has the potential of harming sales of any follow-up to Gone with the Wind, which is authorized by the estate. Peter Beck is one of the attorneys representing Alice Randall and Houghton Mifflin. He says The Wind Done Gone is clearly protected under fair use doctrine, and the Mitchell estate has no authority to stop its publication.
They're perfectly free to license other sequels to Gone with the Wind, but all of us, in this country are also free to criticize, to ridicule, to create parodies of Gone with the Wind. That's not within the scope of their permission. To suggest that they would have licensed a slave narrative told by the illegitimate half-sister of Scarlett O'Hara with the other kinds of scenes and depictions and incidents that the complete reversal of the stereotypes is preposterous.
Besides citing the Two Live Crew case, Houghton Mifflin points to its own refusal to take action against a parody of Lord of the Rings, which it publishes. University of Chicago literature professor Lauren Berlant says there's a long history of authors recasting popular works.
Jane Eyre, Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre, was, you could say, parodied, you could say extended, you could say rewritten by Jean Rhys in her novel Wide Sargasso Sea. Now, if the Charlotte Bronte estate had somehow made it impossible for that incredibly brilliant work of fiction to be written, that would have been an incredible shame. Of course, there's a very long tradition of writing against texts that have taken up the imagination and become kind of normative, especially when these texts are so much a part of a certain kind of cultural fantasy. And Gone with the Wind has been so powerful in so many women's imagination for what romance would really be like.
But Jane Eyre and other stories that have been reworked are in the public domain. When Tom Stoppard told Hamlet from the point of view of two minor characters in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, he was free to do what he wanted. But when Pia Pera retold Vladimir Nabokov's Lolita from the point of view of the young nymphette, Nabokov's son sued. In an unusual twist, Martin Garbus, one of the attorneys who successfully fought to get Lowe's Diary published in the United States, is now representing the Mitchell estate in the When Done Gone lawsuit. If a federal judge allows Alice Randall's novel to be published, attorney Thomas Sells says writers could take from any work they wanted.
You know, instead of having James Bond being presented as he is in all the Ian Fleming books, we should have the right to retell it all of the stories from the point of view of Miss Moneypenny, his assistant, showing that James Bond is really a sexist pig. I think those would be things that could very, you know, easily be conceived of as where people would go with this perspective that Miss Randall wishes to take, which would be incredibly destructive to franchises that publishers and authors and even movie studios spend a great deal of time and money creating and promoting.
While this lawsuit winds its way through the courts, Alice Randall is not commenting publicly. Her novel is scheduled to be published in June. Next week, the two sides go back to court to present evidence to the judge, who will consider a preliminary injunction to stop publication of the book. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.